The following is a presentation of Glad Tidings, a gospel community on a mission to love.
I want to begin our year together talking about opportunity. Opportunity. I know that life is full of opportunities, and I want to begin, if you have your Bibles, if you could turn with me to the book of Exodus. You don't have to go too far into your Bible, and you'll find Exodus and turn to chapter 14, and this is where I'm going to focus our time this morning. In Merriam-Webster Dictionary, here's how they define opportunity. Opportunity is a favorable juncture of circumstances, a good chance for advancement or progress. I was led to this thinking about opportunity as I was reading and reflecting on this Exodus story, this story of Israel crossing the Red Sea or the Sea of Reeds. In this story, I couldn't help see a number of things. I couldn't help see our church. I couldn't help see the story of many Christians learning to walk by faith and not by sight. As I was reading this story, in particular, Exodus 14, I caught glimpses of my own journey in this story. I see the story of every human facing endless opportunity in the midst of enormous opposition. In this amazing story, I see God in pursuit of His people, making a way where there seems to be no way, inviting us to participate in the miracles that only He can perform, and then providing opportunities for us to experience friendship with this Creator on our journey through this life. Throughout this story, we see a God who knows our struggles. He hears our cries for help, and He's willing. In fact, He initiates getting personally involved in our fight for freedom. We see God giving us the courage to overcome opposition if we're willing to seize the opportunity that He gives us by faith. You know, this story is so amazing. It's not just one that we can relate to, but we can actually participate in. We can enter into it by faith in this God of Israel. This same God who continues to rescue people from places of oppression and moves them into spaces of freedom and joyous celebration. We get to participate in this story of liberation by imagining new possibilities, by dreaming and seizing new opportunities that only God can make possible in our lives. And if we're listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, we see time and time again through Israel's story, our story of seeing life full of opportunities, each one of them a gift from God. So the question that I have for us at the beginning of this year, as we move forward into a year of opportunity, is how will we respond to the opportunities that God will bring to us in 2017? So I want to be able to take a look now and turn into this passage of Scripture and see how Moses and the Israelites respond to this opportunity that God places before them on their journey through the Red Sea and into their promised land. I want to begin by reading from verse 1. As usual, I'm going to just kind of work my way through the passage, kind of pausing along the way, maybe sharing some reflections as we go. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the people of Israel to turn back and encamp in front of Pi Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea, in front of Baal Zephon. You shall encamp facing it by the sea." I just want to pause right there. I just want to pick up a couple of things that I think are significant for us as we go through this passage. What is happening here? The first thing I want to pick up is this word Baal Zephon. Baal Zephon is actually the Canaanite storm god. The Canaanite storm god. So what we see God doing is He's the one that's leading His people. Where is He leading them to? Yes, ultimately the promised land. But what does He do along the way? He brings them into the face of a storm. Opposite this storm god. He positions His people opposite to this storm god. There's going to be a confrontation that's going to take place. God believes so much in his people that he's willing to lead them to face a storm. He's setting them up for the impossible. When I think about this, I just think, you know, we need to take courage, because when we find ourselves in a storm, we need to realize that that's actually God's playground. God is not unsettled. He's not surprised. He's not afraid or worried about defeat. God is in control. He's actually leading you with great care to face your storms. Here we see God was the one presenting his people with an opportunity to know him more and experience a miracle. Let's move on in verse 5. Skip down to verse 5. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, the mind of Pharaoh and his servants was changed toward the people. And they said, "What is this we have done, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" I want you to notice here how Israel's obedience to God and their willingness to seize the opportunity actually arouses fresh opposition. The opposition is something we need to remind ourselves this morning is really just a reminder of the opportunity for a miracle. When we see ourselves facing a storm in the midst of opposition, let's be reminded not to be afraid, but let's be reminded that there's an opportunity for a miracle about to take place. Verse 6, so he, that is Pharaoh, made ready his chariot. He took his army with him. He took 600 chosen chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued the people of Israel while the people of Israel were going out defiantly. The Egyptians pursued them, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen and his army. And he overtook them encamped at the sea by Pi Hahiroth in front of Baal Zephon. That word Pi Hahiroth actually means mouth of freedom. See what's happening here. The opposition is always greatest when you're standing at the mouth of freedom. I've heard someone else say this, one of my favorite quotes from this person, "The dogs of doom bark the loudest at the doors of destiny." Isn't that good? It's true. It's true. Here, God is leading people in not only to face a storm, but he's positioned them at the mouth of freedom. No wonder if they look with their physical eyes and they see around them that the opposition is overwhelming. The enemy has mustered up their greatest forces possible, their greatest leaders, the most significant people they have in their armies, in their forces, to come against the plans and purposes of God. But take courage. Though God may allow opposition to pursue you, that's because you're camped at the mouth of freedom. He's just positioning you for victory. Verse 10, when Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. What happened here? They're fearing their opposition more than they fear God. Their eyes were set on earthly things instead of heavenly things. Yes, it says Israel lifted up their eyes, but not far enough. They set their sights on their earthly things instead of fixing their eyes on the heavenly reality of their deliverer who was right there with them in their midst. This caused their hearts to be ruled by fear instead of faith in God. And the following is what always happens when this is the case. It says, going on in verse 10 into 11, and the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." You see, Moses had led the people to the mouth of freedom, but the people were still stuck in Egypt. in their minds, they were fine with the idea. You know, as long as Moses was kind of, you know, on a mountaintop talking about these high and lofty ideas of going into a new land, leaving everything that you know, everything that's familiar. You know, even though they were under oppression and slavery in Egypt, at least they had a guaranteed meal. Things were predictable. They knew exactly who they could stay away from. They knew exactly who they could trust. That was their world, and Moses, through God's help and through God's leadership, was leading them out of that into something totally unknown, something incredibly new. So as long as Moses was talking about concepts and ideas, as long as God felt out there, far away, yeah, he'll do a miracle. He did it in the past. Maybe he'll do it again in the future. But as long as he's not right here with us today, actually moving us forward, everything's okay. Until, of course, that idea got tested. It's difficult to embrace the change that's necessary for a new thing because you first must lose the benefits of the old way before you see any tangible benefits for what is being promised. So they rise up and protest against Moses. And here's what Moses says in verse 13. Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." Verse 15, he says, "The Lord said to Moses," he was actually saying this to Moses, but he was speaking to the people of Israel, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground." Again, the sea represents chaos. In their world, whenever there was a mention of the sea, it was always this kind of this feeling of the unknown and chaos. People would die at sea. Things would disappear at sea. People would set out and journey on large vessels and ships, and they would never return. And often, story would never be told again of where they went. But then we see a picture of God's promise, which is the dry ground, that the people of Israel will walk in stability and have a clear pathway forward. And then the staff. The staff represents the power of God to conquer chaos, to overcome opposition, and to perform miracles. See, God had already placed the miracle in Moses' hands. The people, God was saying, the people will have a clear pathway forward as they watch their miracle unfold by the power of God. Amazing story. I see that God's people are here caught between a rock and a hard place. Maybe more specifically, they're caught between the past and the future. They're stuck in a very difficult place and point of decision. They have to ask themselves, do we actually move forward and take hold of our destiny? Do we accept the opportunity that God has put before us? Or do we turn back and surrender to our past? I want to offer just a couple of words of advice. Where there is opportunity to advance in God's kingdom, there will be plenty of opposition. As we dream about a year of opportunity, please, on this day, hear my heart and know that you will face opposition. Jesus himself told us, in this world, you will have trouble. But what else did he say? Take courage. Take heart, for I have overcome the world. In other words, I will make a way. I will conquer the chaos. I will overcome the opposition. I will make a clear pathway forward as you trust in me and place your faith in me. See, opportunity and opposition are arch rivals in the battlefield of the mind. Where was the battle taking place? It was already taking place in their mind way before they were being tested in their physical realm. In the case of these Israelites, we see the fear of the unknown had blinded them to the power of God already at work in their circumstances. Just read back into the story in chapters 10 and 11 and 12 and 13 leading up to 14, and you'll see time and time again plagues and miracles and just the supernatural wonders of God reminding his people that he's there, he's leading them, he's at work in their midst. Then we see doubt and criticism was causing them to live in their past. The fear had aroused doubts about, will God really come through for us? And whenever there's doubt and fear, it somehow gets into us, and we always, I want to say intuitively, as human beings, we turn around looking for someone to blame. And so what does God tell Moses to do? He says, tell the people to move forward. Here's what the Apostle Paul told the Philippian church. I want you to forget about the past, and I want you to look forward to what lies ahead. God wants to bury your past in the sea of reeds, a place where you will remember Egypt no more. Micah 7:19 says, he will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. God will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. I think it's important for us to remember the past, but not to live in the past. The people of Israel were always to remember that the Lord brought them out of it. They were not to remember Egypt. They were not to look back, but to move forward immediately. You know, when we're faced with a challenge to move forward in life, there will be plenty of opportunities to look back to Egypt. But I think what this passage of Scripture, what this story of Israel, what our story and your story is being revealed here for us to enter into, is that we can remember that God is the one positioning us in the storm for victory. He's the one that will be waiting for you at the mouth of freedom. And just when you're ready to give in to fear, God will encourage you to move forward in faith. So these are the questions that face us in this year of opportunity. What will you do when opposition tries to steal your opportunity? Will you give in to fear? Will you start longing again for Egypt? Will you start blaming others? Or will you obey God and go forward like Moses and the Israelites did? As I think back a little bit, even over this past year, I believe we've spent way too much time fighting for Egypt. I believe that as a church, that we spent way too much time fighting for the way things used to be, even fighting each other instead of fighting together for our future. I believe 2017 will be an opportunity for us as God calls us to move forward, to fight together for our future. As I think about this story, I can't help but see the story of our church, this gospel community on a mission to love. I can't help but see God setting us up, putting us in the mouth of freedom, helping us face opposition, helping us see that God is with us in the battle, that he's the one fighting for us, and that if we'll stop fighting each other and start fighting together, that he will move us into a most glorious future. It's both sobering and it's both exciting. And it's filled with incredible opportunities for us to see God do an incredible miracle in our midst. My prayer is that 2017 will be the year that we seize the opportunity as a church to move forward together in God's promises. I'm excited for what God has in store, not just for our lives individually, but for us as a church. I'm excited for the days ahead. I just can't help but think about all the promises that have been spoken over this congregation. I just can't help but think about the way that He has brought people and He has allowed us to steward lives. And He has been so gracious and so kind, so patient and so long-suffering. And God has been waiting for us to say yes. God has been waiting for us to believe and start fighting together for our future. And I really pray and believe that this will be the year that we will see God's miracle unfold before our very eyes.
Thank you for listening to this message from our weekly gathering in Vancouver. To find ways you can join us on our mission to love, please visit our website at gtchurch.ca.